juicy sizzling steak, hand-tossed original dough, a four cheese blend, and Papa John's creamy signature Philly sauce. It's like the best cheesesteak sandwich ever, but way better because it's on a pizza, which means you can share it. So show some brotherly or whateverly love and get yourself one today. Right now at Papa John's, get a large Philly or any large specialty Papa John's pizza for just $12. Yes, $12. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. At participating U.S. stores, prices may vary. Tax and tip and fee extra.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, November 10th, 2009 on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do every 2 weeks on Tuesdays at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Enclaria LLC. The Change Agent's Dilemma is, how do you influence change without having authority? And what better way to do that than to influence people who do have authority to take action and to have certain behaviors and have certain attitudes? And so today I'll be providing some tips for having difficult conversations with leaders. And before I do that, I'd like to make the case for why this is so important. So it's pretty widely known that as people move up in an organization, they tend to receive less and less feedback. Part of that is just because maybe you have fewer performance reviews, but also fewer and fewer people feel like they have the right to give you feedback. There's a great book called Driving Fear Out of the Workplace. The authors are Kathleen Ryan and Daniel Ostrich. And they describe this concept of an undiscussable. An undiscussable topic is a secret that everybody knows in the organization. I love that definition, a secret that everyone knows. And when they did their research, the top undiscussable that they found by a factor of 4-1 over every other factor is management practice. So the top undiscussable by far in an organization is management practice, meaning how managers manage, you know, how leaders lead in the organization. And this phenomenon is even more ingrained in us, as we tend to say that people join companies but they leave bosses, right? A lot of people leave companies because they just can't handle their boss or any maybe other people in leadership positions. And so people would rather go through the effort of changing jobs, leaving the job that they have, just to avoid having a conversation that might end up changing behavior, attitude, something like that. Now, as a change agent in particular, this is a crucial skill, having difficult conversations with leaders, because so much is riding on leadership when it comes to change. You can implement all the communication plans, all the incentives, all the training programs you want, but if leaders are acting in ways that work against your efforts, they will mostly be in vain. But I do know that change agents are not immune to being unable to have conversations with leaders, because I often have conversations with change agents in organizations where we talk about what is their biggest challenge, what is the top challenge that they'd like to overcome right then. And I hear things like this: well, my boss is a micromanager. With him around, I can't get anything done. I hear things like, the CEO insists on maintaining an environment that's not conducive to the changes that we're supposed to be making. I hear things like, the head of another department is not responsive to my requests. I send him an email, send him a voicemail. He doesn't give me the data that I need, or whatever it was that was needed. I hear things like, we have an executive in the company who's not communicating the change message properly, and it's diminishing the message. So I'd say by a factor probably at least 80% of the time when I talk to people and I say, what is your biggest challenge right at this moment? They always, like I said, 80% of the time, not always, but most of the time it is the common challenge is that one individual in their mind is most standing in the way of progress for change. So when we have people like that in our organization, that we feel like they're somehow standing in the way, not doing what they need to do in order to be aligned with the change that's going on, we make certain assumptions that keep us stuck, I guess. then these are a few of them. We say, well, that leader, that person should know that his behavior is causing problems. Or maybe you think that they already know and they're doing it on purpose even. So we tell ourselves that story. You know, you're telling me that this person got to an executive position in an organization, they're really smart, they know what they're doing, and they can't see what they're, you can't see that their behavior is causing problems? Come on, give me a break, right? We make the assumption that we can't really understand their true motivations. Well, we don't want to have the conversation, so we don't want to ask what's really going on in their head. We make the assumption that it's not my job to tell them. Someone else should be telling them, another leader, maybe someone in HR. You know, it's somebody else's job. It's not my job to tell them. We make the assumption that, you know, if I say something, maybe I'm going to hurt their feelings or, you know, some other emotion is going to happen in them. They're going to get defensive, that kind of thing, and we want to avoid that at all costs. And probably the number one reason, we don't want them to shoot the messenger, right? So there are two common responses when we make these assumptions. The first is to just live with it, live with the situation and the relationship as it is. Just maintain the status quo and just hope that it goes away someday. And the second response is to find a way to work around it. Say, well, we can't change that person's behavior, so we're going to figure out a way to make the organizational change happen without having to do that, without having to worry about that. And some of the ways that that happens that I've heard and seen is by introducing an intermediary. So in the case where the person was trying to get information from the department head of another department and they weren't responding, the way that they were fixing that in that organization was that instead of the person that I was speaking to, that he was a manager, instead of the manager asking specifically for that information, he would have his boss ask for the information because somehow his boss was able to get the information. So that's not really fixing the relationship. It's just a workaround that adds a little bit of bureaucracy, politics, and everything else, more time, effort, all that. And even by using a less effective change process. That's another way to work around it. Find another way to tell that person what's going on, maybe by hiring a consultant or doing a 360, doing an employee survey, things like that, that are very valuable things. I don't want to say they're not valuable resources to have, but sometimes I think that the impetus for doing that is to say, well, no one here is going to tell that person, so we need to hire somebody from the outside to tell them, to figure it out for themselves and tell them, right? Sometimes I think that does happen. So whether you are just living with the situation as it is and hoping that it's going to change or finding a way to work around it, the result is basically the same. Your initiative is stuck, and you're getting frustrated having to work with this person day in and day out. And so there is a third option, which is to do something. Now, some people would say, well, then I'm just going to quit, right? I already said that a lot of people will leave the situation instead of actually speaking up. You could also tell HR. Somebody might say, well, I'm going to tell HR, and they'll do something about it. And my experience in telling someone in HR about a leadership person's behavior, when you say, okay, do something about this, but it has to be anonymous and I don't want it to get back to me, you pretty much hamstring HR's hands and they can't really give adequate feedback if they have to be anonymous and not give any kind of detail. So, you know, they might put it in that person's file, but they won't actually be able to make change until, you know, it gets so bad that they have to fire them. And that can take a long time and may not ever happen. Or the other do something is that you can talk to them and have a difficult, yes, but have a conversation that might actually make change happen, open their eyes, and let them see what's going on. And I know that this is difficult. I'm guilty myself when I was a change agent in an organization, living with the situation for probably years in some cases. I can remember just putting up with and complaining behind the person's back and those kinds of things before I started realizing that that's just not the way that things actually are going to change, you know. Of course, it's horrible for morale and all that. So if you can actually do something about it, then that's the best thing to do. And I've also left it to others and had that intermediary. I've seen that happen where you kind of follow the politics and, you know, my boss says, well, I'll handle it. I'm going to talk to that person, because if I was talking to my boss, maybe he'd say, you know, that executive, say, is sort of in my realm, you know, more peer-to-peer, so I'm going to handle it. And then, but then that person is acting on behalf of yourself, and it's kind of like that game that kids play, the operator game, where you say something and it gets changed every time, changes hands. And so your message really gets diluted if someone else is the intermediary for a conversation. So the main role for change agents in their relationship to leaders, with leaders, is providing feedback. And certainly in my own role early on, I wish I had done more of it or done more of it sooner. Looking back is one of my biggest regrets that I think that really would have made a more difference faster is if I had been able to speak up when I was in a change agent position. So I finally did start understanding this principle, so I'd like to share some tips that I learned in my own experience and how to talk to people who are in leadership positions that actually works. And I've got 10 tips for giving feedback to leaders. And the first tip is to stop talking behind their back about it. We talked about it's an undiscussable, it's the secret that everybody knows. Well, that's because everyone's talking about it except with the person that needs to know it. So if everybody's talking about it, you're talking about this behind their back, they might catch wind of it. That's only one risk. The real risk is to your own integrity. Because when you're talking behind people's backs, other people say, I wonder what they're saying behind my back. And it also fuels your rage because you're not doing anything about it. You're just talking about it, complaining about it, and it just starts seething and you start villainizing that person. And that's when you start making those assumptions that, you know, this person really ought to know that they're causing problems and da-da-da-da-da, right? So stop talking behind their back about it and then start thinking for yourself, what am I going to do about it? So tip number two is to realize that the sort of quote-unquote clueless leader, right, somebody who's unaware, is really the norm, not the outlier, because, as I said, the higher up in the organization you are, the less people tell you what you don't want to hear. And you don't really notice that people are telling you less because you just think, wow, I'm getting good here, right? It's just a natural phenomenon that human beings have. You know, they don't start looking for the negative feedback if they're not getting it. And so it's really the norm that people receive less and less feedback. They become unaware of what they're doing that's causing issues or being misaligned with change. And so realize that they might just need to have someone hold up a mirror and show them what's going on. Tip number three is to get clear about what the real issue is. Especially if this is something that's been going on for a while. Like I said, sometimes you can put up with behavior that's not working for years even. And if you're finally saying, okay, I'm going to do something about this, you really want to hone in on what is it exactly that you need that person to do, or what if there's an attitude, behavior, a certain activity that they need to perform. Hone in on exactly what it is that they're doing that's not working or that they need to do that will work or that might work, and make sure that you know exactly what you're asking for. You don't want to have a laundry list of things that this person has done for 5 years and then attack them with it, because that's just the way that it's going to feel, is that it's an attack. So tip number four is to make sure that you're in the right frame of mind for an effective conversation. You really want to make sure that you're approaching it from the perspective of you're trying to help, you're trying to focus on having a mutual purpose to the conversation. That is, that you're trying to affect change in the organization and to make sure that's going to happen. And you also, when you're making sure you're in the right frame of mind, you make sure you're not trying to right some kind of a wrong or exact some kind of a revenge or have some kind of attack-laden type of attitude. If you do those kinds of things, the leader's just going to be defensive during the conversation. It's going to be more awkward afterwards. So really get in what you think is the right frame of mind to have the conversation. Tip number 5 is to plan when you're going to have the conversation and also where. So you don't necessarily need to schedule it with this person that you're going to talk to. That might be awkward because they say, "Yeah, what do you want to talk about?" I don't really want to say what I want to talk about. So, that's your choice. It might be better to give them a heads up. It might not. I don't know what the right answer is, but just be deliberate about it, I guess is what I'm saying. So just know ahead of time for yourself when you're going to talk, and I would say also where you're going to talk. Plan where you're going to have the conversation because, if you're going into a CEO's office, let's say, and he's got the big desk and the huge chair, and it just might be a little bit awkward for you. It's just something to think about. Versus if you're in a conference room, say, and just sitting across the table from a person, so it's more like peer to peer. So I'd just say be deliberate about when and where you're going to talk. And plan ahead for yourself, at least, when you're going to have the conversation so you can psych yourself up for it and not just jump into it at a random time when you decide that it's appropriate now. Number 6, at the beginning of the conversation, ask for permission to give the feedback. And I don't necessarily mean, "Hello, leader, can I please give you some feedback?" It's more like saying, "I'm responsible for this change. I've seen some behaviors that I'd just like to address with you. Would you mind if I share those?" Whatever is comfortable for you in getting that sort of permission to give feedback. And the main reason to do that is that they're most likely not going to say no unless they just don't happen to have time right then. But after saying yes, then at least they need to sit there and hear what you have to say, right? So they're giving you permission. The natural urge for someone who's done that is to at least fulfill what they've promised to do, which is listen. Number 7, unless you have the permission to represent a group, don't drag other people into it. It might be comfortable to make yourself seem like one of many, like sort of an army of folks who believe all this. But from that leader's point of view, it's going to feel like a mutiny. It might also sort of dilute your message and make it less effective because it's less personal that way. If you're saying, "Well, all these people believe that you're doing this wrong," it's more specific to say, "I've seen this happen and this is what I see as the implications," tell that story like that. I also think that it's important not to throw your colleagues under the bus. If they don't know that you're going in there to talk to the leader and you're saying, "These 5 people agree with me," and they don't know that you're saying that, I don't think that's a wise thing to do to your colleagues. So I would avoid dragging other people into it unless you have their permission. Tip number 8 is to be honest and direct. So if you read anything about feedback, they'll say that you want to use specific examples that people have done that you're observing. So tell the leader the experience from your perspective and what you see as the implications and seek to understand what their point of view is as well. Tip number 9, don't become defensive yourself. So you can expect that your boss or the leader is going to be somehow defensive if you're telling them something that you think is they're doing wrong or an attitude that they have or whatever it is that you're seeking to modify. they might become defensive about that. And so if that person starts to deny it or turn it around and have it be your own fault, it's important not to become defensive yourself and then start basically having an argument or defending yourself in a way that makes it all about you instead of keeping the focus on their behavior and their activities. So if that starts to happen, you can, if you feel like you've made your case, you can just say thank you for letting me share and politely end the conversation. And that way you're avoiding becoming defensive yourself. And if you need to, schedule another time to follow up and talk about it so that, you know, you can diffuse the situation. Number 10 is similar to what I just said, which is to keep the conversation going. So you don't want to just have one conversation and then end it and not have any way to follow up. You want to find out how you can follow up. Whether they are agreeing, yes, this is something that I didn't realize, and thank you so much for bringing it up to my attention. Make sure you say, well, how can we make sure that this isn't happening or doesn't happen again or whatever it is that you need to do, make sure you have that agreement with them on how best to follow up. And even if they don't agree with it, you can say, well, the next time that I see that happen, can I bring it to your attention right then so we can just address it and I can at least show you what I'm talking about, something like that. So that's number 10. There is a great resource that I highly recommend. It's a book called Crucial Conversations. I think it should be I think it should be recommended reading for any person who's a change agent in an organization. They talk about a crucial conversation being one in which opinions vary, so people in the conversation have different opinions. The stakes are high, like you think they're going to shoot the messenger. And emotions run strong, so people are getting defensive or feel like they're being attacked or whatever it is. So I would say that giving feedback to leaders is probably a very crucial conversation in that definition. So I highly recommend the book. Just a couple things that they focus on in the book. They give a step-by-step way to have a conversation like this, so definitely a worthwhile investment. They talk about focus on what you really want for both the outcome of the conversation as well as for the relationship. Because you don't want to, even if you get the outcome that you want, you don't still want to preserve the relationship with your colleague. You want to create a safe environment to have a conversation by developing mutual respect and mutual purpose in that conversation. They talk about it, if someone is reacting in silence or in violence, then it's probably not a safe conversation. So those are just some of the things that they talk about in that book. Like I said, definitely get that if you're a change agent in an organization. The author, I should say, is Carrie Patterson and a number of other people. So Crucial Conversations. So just to wrap up, you know, why is this so important? Well, you can be far more influential as a change agent if you can master this one skill, having difficult conversations with leaders. Because your most important role as a change agent in your relationship with leaders is to provide feedback on how they are representing the change to the rest of the organization. Now, this premise is central to the coaching that I do at Enclaria. So if you face a similar challenge of having in the way of your initiative or somehow preventing progress, I urge you to contact me to see how we might work through it together. And I'll give you even my contact information. You can email me at heather@enclaria.com. You can also call me at 678-644-2886. And I'd be happy to have a conversation about what you're going through and how we might work together to work through it. So if that's too soon for you, if you'd just like to see how else we might work together to influence change in your organization, please visit my website at www.enclaria.com. And thank you for listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma. take care, and best wishes on your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.